Okay, we are recording.
Okay, everybody, welcome to our study of the sealed book, which we do on our Sunday fellowship meetings. We are in the sealed Book of Mormon and within the sealed Book of Moses on chapter 12, starting in page 102. And today is the 28th day of February, 2021, and this is, I'm just going to see again how long it is. Yeah, see, 15 verses. I think this will just be, will take the whole hour because I believe there'll be quite a bit of discussion, this one chapter. So, Jeannie, why don't we ask, can we ask you to start to read both the intro and verse 1, and then we'll go from there.
I don't have my book with me. I don't remember which it's in, or suitcase, or whatever.
Oh, that's fine. I didn't even think of that. How about John? How about you? Would you start, and then Lisa?
Chapter 12, page 102.
Right.
Joseph prophesies in Egypt. First of all, let me comment, Dad. If I understand correctly, these chapter headings are translated, correct?
Yes, that's my understanding too.
Okay. Joseph prophesies in Egypt that Moses will deliver Israel from the Egyptian captivity. God reveals to Joseph that a branch of his descendants will be taken to a distant land, and from his loins, two seers and a mouthpiece will come to the aid of a Moses, whom the Lord will raise up in the last days. And Joseph said unto his brethren, the Lord hath visited me, and I have obtained a promise from him, that the Lord God shall raise up a just branch from the loins of Jacob, a prophet, not the promised descendant. And behold, this prophet shall deliver my people out in the days of their bondage. So before I read further, I should probably explain to our visitors the promised descendant, if in context, is the Savior, referred to antediluvian times, back in the days of Adam and Noah. A promised descendant would come. That's what that's, perhaps that's obvious, but that's what that's referring to. And then I'll start up again in verse 2. And it shall come to pass that they shall be scattered again, and a branch shall be broken and brought to a far country beyond the sea. Nevertheless, they shall be remembered in the covenants of the Lord when the Messiah shall come. For it will be revealed to them in the last days in the spirit of power, and he shall bring them out of darkness into the light, from hidden darkness and from captivity to eternal freedom. And a seer God will lift from the fruit of my loins, who shall be a seer chosen to restore the ordinances of the house of Israel in this far land.
Okay, thank you. Now I'll open up the comments.
I think that's what's happening right now. You know, over the, you know, from Israel to the Americas, and obviously our seer Mauricio and Joseph. You know, it's pretty compelling.
Thank you. Other comments.
So, our mic is on. So is the first in verse one, is he talking about Moses? And behold, this prophet shall deliver my people out in the days of their bondage. Do you think that's Moses?
Yes, because of the summary.
Okay, so that's Moses. And then I was thinking verse two was talking about Joseph Smith.
Oh, right. Okay. Let me go back and put this in context a little bit.
Thanks.
So again, for our new people, the whole book up till now, the whole book of Moses has been reviewing, it's especially about the high priesthood, but it's been reviewing the history of the high priesthood from Adam on. There was a chapter on Adam and the first ones, and then it went to a big chapter on Enoch, and we went through Melchizedek and Abraham, and now this is just finished the chapter that talked about the blessing from Abraham. We talked about the blessing of onto Judah and Joseph, which is very much like chapter Genesis 49, where each of the 12 were blessed, but we just were given two of them. And so now this is going to be very parallel to what's in the Book of Mormon in 2 Nephi chapter 3, where Lehi's reading to his son, whose name is Joseph, and he says, you're going to have some blessings, and let me read you what our ancestor, he had found out that he is from Manasseh, from Joseph, he, Lehi. So he says, we've got the record here of the Book of Joseph, and let's read big prophecy he was given about his descendant. And so that's really what we're going to be reading, this whole chapter. But it's an expanded form with more information than what's in the Book of Mormon. And in my recent paper about lineage, it's called Wheaton Tares Lineal Succession, I actually have a graph. I don't know who's seen that yet, but I have a chart comparing part of what's in this book side by side with the Book of Mormon so you can compare them. And this one actually fills in details that have been totally overlooked in the Book of Mormon. So that's both the context and looking ahead to what's coming. So with that in mind, let's go back to verse one. We got to read this a second time because we think we understand and sometimes we don't. Joseph said to his brethren, the Lord hath visited me and I have obtained a promise from him, and the Lord God shall raise up a just branch from the loins of Jacob, a prophet, not the promised descendant. And this prophet, now this is talking about his descendant. This prophet, there's nothing about Moses here. This prophet shall deliver my people out in the days of their bondage. I will suggest this is not talking about this whole thing. The first part is about Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith, and that's why my in the lineal succession. Well, see, it says, but this where it says he, it will be of his seed. I know I had another whole paper on that. That means his direct male descendant, where it's male descendants all the way. So it's.
Well, but it's saying loins of Jacob. So this could be Moses. Moses was from the loins of Jacob.
I have obtained a promise from him, and the Lord shall raise up a just branch from the loins of Jacob. He will raise up a prophet.
But was in Moses' time, was that an actual branch of our denomination, or was it an actual church?
We're gonna read on. I've given my interpretation. I'll suggest that when we read on, we'll see. I believe it's correct. If it's wrong, I'll go find out. We're sort of thinking we know this from the Book of Mormon, because the Book of Mormon, it does talk about, I'll raise up a branch and he will be called Moses. And then it says, and after he talks about Moses, then he says, but I will also raise up a branch unto you. But the branch unto Joseph also leads them out of bondage. The people in the time of Joseph Smith, and now even more so, are in bondage to false teachings. And I mean, when you try to tell people about this book, they are in total bondage of, they can't open their minds to accept it. So let's not worry about exactly which one that is here. Let's go on and read the next one again.
Let me just comment.
Please.
I understand what you're suggesting, but I think your suggestion still lives okay with that being Moses and verse 2 being Joseph Smith and verse 3 being the Joseph you're leading up to.
That could be. Let's read two again and comment, and then let's go on to three. Two again, it says, they shall be scattered again, and a branch shall be broken and brought. Okay, yeah, maybe I haven't understood. See, you have to read it so carefully.
Oh, well, scatter again would be after.
But Moses is way after.
He was scattered, but scatter again would be a second time. Well, what about when he was supposed to come to the promised land and they went out, sent 12 people out to inspect the land, but they didn't fight the enemy, and then they had to go wait another 40 years.
No, that's true. Russell, I'm seeing that I'm agreeing with you now. And with Kevin here, I had missed the scattered again part.
Hey, Dad.
And a branch shall be broken. The branch that's broken that comes over to America is Lehi, is around 600 BC, and that is when the people went into bondage and were scattered. The scattering again does sound like it's the 600 BC time when they. Ten of the 12 tribes were scattered into Assyria. That's actually 700 BC and 720. And then the other two go into bondage in Nebuchadnezzar's time. And that's when they go to a far country beyond the sea. Now that's something which is, we read in the verse, well, we read it last week in the blessing to Joseph in Genesis, it just says, that your branches, Joseph's branches, will run over the wall. And it's been interpreted to mean cross the sea. Here it's very clear. They go to a far country beyond the sea. Nevertheless, they shall be remembered. And then that is, so I'm going to agree with you two. The first one, it was very abbreviated. So this is one where it's more clear in the Book of Mormon. Because they give the name of Moses and he will lead the children. And then it says, even as he will be raised up, so also will you have a seer. So I retract my thank you, both of you, for see, nobody's in charge here. we all learn as we go. If there's no other comment, let's have Lisa read verse. Is there anything else before we read verse 3? And let's read verse 3.
Okay. And the God of my fathers said unto me, Joseph, a chosen seer will I raise up out of the fruit of thy loins, and he shall be highly esteemed, and I will command him to do a work for the fruit of thy loins. For whosoever shall accept his words and be baptized because of them shall be numbered as part of the house of Ephraim, whom I have separated among his brothers. Therefore, a descendant of Joseph, the brother of Manasseh, to whom he shall be taken first to this place far beyond the great waters, and they shall be a remnant branch of the house of Jacob. And he will bring you to know the covenants which I made with your fathers, and he shall perform whatever work I command him.
So really quick, Joseph.
Oh, say it loud.
Well, when Joseph was separated from his brothers and sold into bondage in Egypt, is that what we're talking about? Is that Ephraim?
Yes, but okay. but that's symbolic. The whole thing with Joseph and being separated, that whole thing was symbolic of his descendants being separated across the waters. There were a lot of things in that, like he's thrown into a pit and he was sold for 20 pieces of silver. There's just lots of things in Joseph's life that was symbolic of future things. And we don't need to do all of that, but this is where it specifically says, a seer I will raise up from the fruit of thy loins. I'll make one comment here. All my life in the LDS church, I had heard that people who joined the church, if they weren't already directly in a house of Israel, they would be adopted into the house of Ephraim. And I tried to find that somewhere in scripture, even in a general authority talk. I couldn't really find it. It was in most of the patriarchal blessings. Some patriarchal blessings would say you really are from the blood of Ephraim, and others, because most of England is from Ephraim, a lot of England, the English, the Anglos, especially. And and others will say you really are the blood, and others will say you receive your blessings through them. This is the first place in scripture I know where it says that. Says those who accept and are baptized become part of the house of Ephraim. See, the house, not the seed, the house. You're adopted into a house, even if you're not of the seed. Very careful words here. Remember, Mauricio translated this. I can testify to Victoria and Trevor. Mauricio does not speak English, okay? At all. He translated this by the gift and power of God. And these words, they're amazing, I think. It's a little bit rough from what we, it's not as smooth as we'd like, but the meaning is there.
And I want to comment to you, for Trevor and Victoria. During the last conference in Brazil, the end of his speech, which you can read on John's website, he actually spoke in English. And then he had to have John translate what was spoken in English that he spoke back into Portuguese, so he knew what he said.
Yeah, he came up to me afterwards and said he didn't know what he had said. And because it was, that's another story. I'm just saying this is an amazing book. Okay, I sort of commandeered that a little bit. Any other comments on this verse 3? This is very much parallel to the Book of Mormon.
I guess verse 3, I don't know that we know who this seer is.
Oh, good question.
Because it says he'll be highly esteemed, and I don't, Joseph Smith, Mauricio don't fit that description.
Oh, he's highly, now in the Book of Mormon, it says highly esteemed among his brethren. And he is very highly esteemed in the LDS, has been, you know, as a prophet in the LDS church, and has done a lot of things. In my mind, there's no, as we read on, there's going to be no question that it's Joseph Smith. There's another part. Oh, we'll see what comes up. In my article, let's just read on, but I'll tell you, I'm very sure that this is, in this one, is Joseph Smith. He's a remnant. Let's go on. See, he will bring you to know, the last verse, the last sentence, he will bring you to know the covenants which I've made with your father, and he will perform whatever work I command you. It was Joseph Smith who brought forth the covenants, and here's the baptism. And the whole Book of Mormon is a covenant. As we read on, I think it's going to become more clear. So, Jared, would you continue with verse 4?
Oh, Lord will make him great, and he shall be in my sight like Moses, and his name shall be known among all nations, for he shall do my work. Yea, truly he will be like Moses, which I said that I would raise up to deliver my people, O house of Israel, from the oppression like the slaves. For behold, I will raise up a seer to deliver my people out of the land of Egypt, and he shall be called by the name of Moses. And by that name his brethren shall know that he belongeth unto the house of Israel.
Okay. So, comments on that? Joseph Smith's name is known among all nations. Moroni told that to him at the first appearance. He said, your name shall be known for good or for evil for all nations. That's an amazing prophecy to give to a 17-year-old, I believe he was 17 at that time, 1823, yes, he's 17-year-old boy. Say his name would be known among all nations. And it is. So great may not always mean for good. It may just mean that this, exactly the same thing. His name shall be known among all nations. That's great in itself, I believe. And which is not true right now of Mauricio. It's not true of his son, Joseph Smith III. But bringing forth the covenants, it's going to go on and talk about, well, we'll just see as it comes. I'm still holding my vote here for Joseph Smith.
What do you all think it means when it, in verse 4, where it says, and he shall be called by the name of Moses?
Oh, no, that one, it switches here. So thank you. See, it says he, I'm saying Joseph Smith, will be like Moses. Now that, so it's going to switch and talk about Moses, of which I said I would raise up to deliver my people. So it's Moses who delivers his people. Oh, and that's why you convinced me back on one. That was Moses again. See, I was expecting it to have his name like this. Deliver my people, the house of Israel, from the oppression like slaves. And for behold, now he's going to switch back. I will raise up a seer to deliver. Oh, no, no, this is the same, still Moses. I will raise up a seer to deliver my people out of the land of Egypt, and he shall be called by the name of Moses. So in other words, it's almost like the Lord using the name of Joseph, of the Moses, and then saying that he'll be called by that name.
And again, we're...
So this was, the point is, Joseph Smith many times is compared to be one like unto Moses.
And the whole Bible is repeating, showing the repetitiveness of history. So we can see that the next stage of the story, if you will, or of the biblical knowledge, everything repeats. And that's how we know. We can then say, oh, this is repeating of that. It must be true. Not saying that about Joseph at this point, but that's the whole point of the Bible. It's all repeating.
Yeah, there's patterns. I'd use the word patterns. And amen. It's you might ask, well, why does he keep saying this comparison to Moses? Why even bring Moses into this at all? That's sort of like what you're answering. And I will agree with your answer that I will restate it this way. In the same way that Moses led people out of physical bondage and slavery, so also will Joseph Smith, this future seer, lead people out of the bondage of having been taught in, but not only the Catholic Church, but the Protestants, out of a spiritual bondage where they don't know how to baptize. Can you sprinkle? Is an immersion? That all these churches were teaching different things. There's a real bondage and lack of the real covenants and the authority. And so even as God gave authority to Moses and Aaron, he gave authority to Joseph Smith, who did this amazing teaching to get people out of spiritual bondage and restore covenants and priesthood. To me, it's sort of all, is this mysterious? Am I, give me feedback. I think I'm reading too much into this, or is that, what do you think?
No, that makes sense to me. I was just wondering if that was more of a metaphorical thing or more of a lineage thing when it was talking about being called by the name of Moses.
What are your thoughts, Russell?
I'm sorry, I haven't been focused on it very much, but I think that, I don't have anything to say.
Okay. No, that's all fine. Let's go on, because it gets more clear. And the good part's coming up, the new part. So let's see. I'm looking at the pictures trying to go around, and they're moving around on me. pictures. Russell, you haven't read yet, have you?
That's correct.
Would you read 5 for us?
Therefore, the fruit of thy loins shall write a record as soon as his offspring obtain this land beyond the sea, and the fruit of the loins of Judah shall also write a record. And that which is written by the fruit of thy loins in this far country, and that which is written by the fruit of the loins of Judah, shall grow together, each in his own nation, for the purpose of confounding false doctrines and appeasing contentions and establishing peace between the fruit of thy loins and the house of Jacob in the last days. When then the words of these two records are brought to the notice of their fathers and to the knowledge of my covenants, which I made with the house of Israel, saith the Lord.
All right, comments.
Sounds like there's two records.
Seems to be Ezekiel 37.
Yeah, Ezekiel 37 that says that the book of Judah and the book of Joseph will come, the sticks will come together in one hand. And what was, who was the prophet? When was that done?
During Joseph Smith's time.
Joseph Smith's time. So this makes it clear to me that this is Joseph Smith. And frankly, when we get, if you compare to the Book of Mormon, I will suggest that this verse is actually out of place, but let's not, I'm getting ahead of myself. But yes, this is correct in this one. It's Joseph Smith, and he's the one that brings the covenants.
Well done.
The two records come together, and what's the purpose? The purpose is of confounding false doctrines, establishing peace, and it's two witnesses from two nations, from two hemispheres coming together. And I just noticed something new. It says, as soon as your offspring obtain this land from beyond the sea, this is going to happen. And if you look at the founding of the church, 1830, it's very soon after, within 50 years of the founding of the country. And again, like I said, it's mostly English who founded the country, Ephraim. So in other words, I'm seeing here, I've never noticed that before, that it's soon after they get the country.
Maybe I'm jumping the gun, John, but I'm still going back to, we said at the beginning that that even the summaries were revealed. And so we're talking about two seers and a mouthpiece that will come to the aid of a Moses. So there's four people that this chapter is talking about.
Okay, let's read that.
That's
points, two seers. You know, you read that and I dismissed that. Two seers and a mouthpiece will come to the aid of a Moses, whom the Lord will raise up in the last days.
That's why I say that we can say that Joseph Smith was Moses, okay. But then another seer.
This is the part that I was wondering if I should tell you, and it's right in the introduction. Oh my goodness, we got to read on. This is going to be
true. Okay.
But still, it's a Moses. There's a like unto Moses, and there's a Moses. The name. Let's keep. There's a seer. I'm with you now. I understand your question now.
Okay. We can keep going. Yeah. I mean, that's why it's a summary. So maybe we need to get through the chapter. And then
yeah. The Moses of that one's coming up. And I wasn't sure. I just learned that very recently. But it's right here in the book. Maybe we should, let's go on, so that was Russell. Trevor and Victoria, do you have do you want to read or do you want to just listen?
Yeah, I can read in verse 6.
Please, Trevor.
And again, a seer I will lift up of the fruit of thy loins, and I will give him power to carry my word to the seed of thy loins, who were brought into this land beyond the sea, and which are a remnant of the house of Manasseh and Ephraim, that is to his brethren, and not only to bring to his brethren the words of his father, but to the convincing them of my word, which shall already have been declared unto them by the hand of the first seer of the last days.
Okay. This is the new part. I think I'll jump in with the first comment. Just because. Oh, and I didn't see Laura there. We should have had Laura be too, but anyway.
I think you should wait till you read verse 7, but go ahead.
Well, I'll say a little bit now. This is where suddenly we see clearly there are two seers. And when you read the Book of Mormon, I read the Book of Mormon carefully. I see no hint of two seers. And this makes it clear. Yes, I'll agree to that. Let's go back to Laura first. Laura, would you read, let's have her read verse 7 and then we'll discuss it.
Okay. And to this seer I will bless, and those who seek to destroy him will be confounded, because this promise I gave unto you because of the first seer in the fullness of time, on whom I promised that I would remember the fruit of his loins from generation after generation, even after the arrow of death, a ray that I saw in the hand of the beast shot down the esteemed seer. And the name of his son shall be as his own, and it shall be Joseph, according to the name of his father. And he shall be like unto you, Joseph of Egypt. And what the Lord make by him shall lead my people in the latter days.
All right, rather than me jumping in, there's a lot there. And now it doesn't sound almost anything like the Book of Mormon. And so I'll leave it open for you people to make comments first before I get my understanding. Time's up. No.
Go ahead, John.
I'll go ahead. All right, this I'm going to first comment on the Book of Mormon. A very similar verse is in the Book of Mormon where it says that his name shall be the same as his father. It sounds like it's just one seer in the Book of Mormon. We all say, oh yeah, Joseph Smith is really Joseph Smith Jr. And that's the same name as his dad. We're not sure if that's a big deal or not. Why, is that a big deal? Do we need to know that? But nobody, I don't know if you ever asked that, but I have. You know, what's that all about? Oh, okay, maybe it's just identifying you. So, okay, now we're sure who it is. Jr., son of Joseph the Senior. The one thing in the Book of Mormon which did not make a lot of sense is when it talks about this, it says this part about those who seek to destroy him will be confounded. And you can say, well, wait a minute, that didn't happen. Those who sought to destroy him, in fact, destroyed him. And almost ripped the church apart into a lot of pieces. And what? You know, that didn't sound right. That sounds like a mistake, actually. And so there's some questions if you read carefully the Book of Mormon account. This straightens it all out. And I'm just going to give my summary of what I think it said then and then comments. So he's talking about this great seer. And he comes and does all this wonderful stuff. And then he says in verse 6, he says, and again, a seer will I lift up. That and again, this is the second seer. Will I lift up from the fruit of thy loins and give him power to carry my word and see the loins, which had already, at the end of that sentence, had already been declared unto them by the hand of the first seer of the last days. This is talking about Joseph Smith III. Which regular LDS Mormons don't know almost anything about. It's the son of Joseph Smith. He's the one that continued on. And again, I have this whole recent paper on the lineage. Joseph Smith okay, this is going to be a long comment, but it's what's going on. Joseph Smith had actually ordained his son, Joseph Smith III, in the presence of many elders who witnessed it, and I have the quotes, to be the next president of the church. But he was only 9 years old at the time of the death of the prophet. So somebody needed to be a caretaker. And Sidney Rigdon got up and said, I'll be a caretaker. And that was his word. And Brigham Young got up and said, well, the apostles have equal authority. We can take over. And the understanding was whoever was taking care of the church, and when Joseph Smith III got old enough, he would be the prophet. Well, years go by, and not very many years. So only 3 years go by, and Brigham Young, who is not even a high priest, has himself actually illegally declared president of the church, which is meaning president of the high priesthood, and he's not even a high priest. A high priest is above an apostle. And then the other people said, whoa, that's not the program. And that's when the reorganized church started and some other branches broke up because they knew that was wrong. It was at least supposed to be a descendant of Joseph Smith Sr. Samuel Smith, if Joseph had died, it was supposed to go to Hiram. If Hiram had also died, which he did, it was supposed to go Samuel. But Samuel died just a month after the martyrdom, and the next would be William. And William sensed trouble and left. And so when the reorganized church started, it was started with a man had a revelation that promised them that Joseph Smith III would join them when he was old enough. And that happened. And he was never killed. He lived to be 86 years old. He had revelations. So we who grew up in the Mormon church, who always were taught that all those silly reorganized people are so wrong, don't even listen to them at all. It turned out that Joseph Smith III did have the keys. And he is this person. And he's named Joseph, the same as his father. And it goes on. And to this seer, this is Joseph Smith III, I will bless those who seek to destroy him will be confounded, because see, this is all being given to Joseph of Egypt. He's been told that his seed would go on forever, and now he sees that this seer is going to be killed, and look how he's killed. This promise I gave you, because the first seer in the fullness of times, he saw that at the arrow of death, a ray that I saw in the hand of his enemy shot down the esteemed seer. This is Joseph of Egypt having a vision of a man with a gun that he had. What's a gun? You know, it's like a ray gun. I mean, he doesn't see an arrow or a bow or anything. It's a weapon in his hand, and this ray comes out, or something comes out, and kills the prophet. And now Joseph of Egypt is thinking, oh my goodness, I thought I was supposed to have my seed go on forever. What's going to happen? He's killed. He's only 38 years old. And then the Lord gives him this promise that to comfort him, that he's that Joseph, the great seer, will have a son named Joseph, who's also a seer. He won't be killed. And they lie and well, we're going to see it's right in here. I didn't cover this in my paper, but the line is going to continue through him. And we're going to read that as we read more verses now. It's okay to tell you because it's right here in the book. So this is Joseph Smith III, whom I had no idea had anything going on. That's what, and that he shall be like you, Joseph of Egypt, and shall lead my people in the latter days. And he did that. Okay, that's my understanding of what we just read. Now I'll take the comments.
Yeah, I guess I would just, verse 6 and the very first line in verse 7 doesn't sound like Joseph Smith III. I do agree that it's talking into the rest of 7 and 8. It sounds exactly after I read your paper of Joseph Smith III. But I think it's just giving all that information and this referencing Joseph Smith III, emphasizing that the promise, you know, to Joseph of Egypt, that this promise is going to be continual. But I don't think that it's saying that this second seer is Joseph Smith III, because the rest of it in verse 6 don't match up.
Well, but it says it's his son. The name. Well, but
right, but that's just saying, because this promise I gave unto you, because of the first, he's explaining and defining the promise, not the seer.
Good point. I was seeing the name. Let's just read this again slowly and see what it says.
Because I definitely agree it's talking about Joseph Smith III in the 7 and 8, but I think he's only doing that emphasizing the promise.
Right, the promise that...
Right, that this promise is going to be this extenuating priesthood and everything, but it doesn't mean that Joseph Smith III is the seer. The second seer who is going to have success to destroy him who will be confounded, to the convincing them of my word. Joseph Smith III didn't convince a whole lot of people. Yet this second seer is supposed to really go and make a big effort.
What about Joseph Smith?
Okay, just make sure everybody, we all understand. I'm going to restate what you said.
Okay.
So I'm understanding and I'm agreeing, unless I see different here, that might be very possibly it. And where were you when I wrote the paper? When I needed you. But anyway, because I pretty much said it was Joseph Smith III. And I think we do know it is, but let me comment on what you're saying is that so Joseph of Egypt saw that the great seer would be shot down, and to comfort him, he was shown that that his son would continue on and continue the promise, but it doesn't say that he's necessarily the next great seer, but it does say that he won't be killed and that he will help do the teachings. So, okay, now you had a comment, but I'll...
Yeah. So I'm just saying that I don't think we know who the second seer is. I think that because we aren't seeing some of these things, I guess that's just my thought, is that the second seer is going to be great and help this new Moses, because that's what the summary says, that they'll come to the aid of a Moses.
Now I believe actually it says it in here, and I did when I wrote the paper, but I will now, what's the word, invoke special knowledge that when Moroni has had lots of talks with Mauricio, Angel Moroni, and instructed him in a lot of things, and Mauricio instructed me way back when I asked him about this, that Moroni had specifically said that it was Joseph Smith III. And so I'll agree with your comment. That may not be completely clear here. I've got to read it yet another time to double check. And I think we need to move on. But I think we're going to find out that the seer you're thinking it might be, Mauricio, is still coming up.
Let's keep going, and maybe it'll all piece together.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have written all that about Joseph Smith III, because it was a shock to me. I mean, I didn't know anything about him. Okay, so I've lost track online. Okay, we're up to Victoria, I think. So Victoria, are you there? Could you read verse 8 for us?
Yes. Sorry about that. Let's see. And the Lord swore to Joseph that he would keep his seed forever, saying, as I will raise up Moses in Egypt, that he may be a token of that which I will bring in the last days, having in his hands a rod to gather my people Israel in the midst of a promised land, and having discernment according to the Spirit to write my words, but not for many, for I will write my law by the finger of my own hand on stone tablets, and I will prepare him a spokesman whose name shall be Aaron.
Okay, I'll leave comments.
I'm just going to mention I'm going to be leaving now.
Okay.
I have to go to another.
Glad you've been with us. Thank you.
All right, bye.
We have people with different commitments that need to keep them. Let's look at it.
So I have one comment.
Okay.
In Doctrine and Covenants, you know, Joseph Smith also had Oliver Cowdery. You know, they were like Moses and Aaron. I don't know.
It talks about a rod.
It talks about a rod. Yeah, like, wasn't Oliver Cowdery promised another opportunity to translate when he couldn't translate? And I don't know if...
Didn't he use a divining rod?
Yeah.
I
guess that's just my thoughts. I just keep thinking about how it was Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery, you know, with the Restoration. And, you know, I haven't studied much about Mauricio. But that's just what's coming to my mind. I don't really have a point.
That's excellent. Let me comment on that. All through this, when it's talking about Joseph Smith, it does say that he will have a spokesman and will not only spokesman speaking, so not only help write the words, but, you know, be a great speaker. And you correctly point out, I believe that there's really two, that one was replaced. It started out, I don't know anywhere where Oliver Cowdery is really called a spokesman in scripture. But I do know that he was considered such, and he was not an amazing script. He did more of the writing, and he was the second elder when the church started. But he is replaced when he was excommunicated for charging Joseph Smith with something that was shown to be false. And in the scriptures, in D&C 100, Sidney Rigdon is officially called to be the spokesman or a spokesman for Joseph Smith, and he's given an assignment on what to do. And I've read discussions of people who have heard the two talk together, and Sidney Rigdon's talks were amazing. He had been a Campbellite preacher. He knew the Bible inside and out. He could quote it all. And the people that heard them both, one after the other, the one comment was that Joseph's the young prophet who was uneducated and gets up and speaks by the Spirit, and words of truth come out of his mouth, and he tells people and declares the word, like it says here, in covenants and the teachings and the gospel. And then Sidney Rigdon would get up and say, and all of that you just heard is in the Bible, and here it is. And so the people would not be required, and this is actually if you read sections 35, where Sidney is first called, and 100, where it repeats it, but it's in section 35, where it says that Sidney Rigdon's job is to get up and prove from the scriptures that Joseph Smith is correct. And that's what he did. So he would stand up and say, this is all in the scriptures, and you don't have to believe a new prophet and wondering, oh, where is this coming from? And is this true? And this is all so new. But look, it's right here. And the people said the two together was just a 1-2 punch that left everybody amazed. Okay. So with that in mind, Sidney Rigdon replaced Oliver Cowdery, who did use the divining rod, and if you use it correctly, you can get answers from God. He was told not to ask for things he shouldn't, which is true on all those devices. It's true of the seer stones. You're not supposed to look for anything you shouldn't. Well, anyway, that's kind of a long answer, but so he was replaced.
Yeah, I'm just
I'm just asking questions out loud. I don't really have anything else to add to that.
No, that's fine. That's I think I'm agreeing with you. There was a spokesman for Joseph Smith. Let's keep, what time do we got?
11, 12.
Okay, yeah, we're just barely going to make it here. So let's keep moving on, and we're going to get more of this. And I think we're ready for Kevin. I think everybody on top, everywhere else is red. Kevin, if you would read, maybe both either 9 or 9 and 10, whatever you like.
Verse 9, behold, in the same way, I, the Lord, will raise up a Moses in the last days, and I will give him power over a rod and the ability to write a record, but I will not let him speak much, for I will not unite our tongue.
Untie.
I will not unite our...
Untie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Untie our tongue. But I will write unto him my law by the finger of my hand, which are the records of the ancient prophets of this place, that in the land overseas, my people will live by the teachings of a metal book.
Yeah.
So what's the rod?
Yeah, let's just stop right there. Okay, now we're getting in to... what I'm going to say is the next one. I mean, looking back at what Jared pointed out in the chapter heading, God reveals to Joseph that a branch of descendants taken to a distant land and from his loins, two seers and a mouthpiece will come to the aid of a Moses, whom the Lord will raise up in the last days. So that's extremely important. I've told you who I believe the two seers are. It doesn't say the mouthpiece yet, but there's also a Moses. And so the first seer is likened to Moses, but this is the one he's calling a Moses. I'm going to say I don't know for sure who this is, but as we read more, we're going to find out. I don't know what it means. I will give him power over a rod. This is now beyond section 103 says that the Lord will raise up someone likened to Moses who will lead the children. I think it's verse 17, 16 and 17, that he will lead the future church out of bondage, even as Moses did. And people all assume that is Joseph Smith, but it doesn't say that. So there's things like that prophesied in the Doctrine and Covenants. But it does say, says, I will not untie, and it should be his tongue. That's a translation in Portuguese. That's the very kind I just treated in the paper yesterday. That's a slip. I will not, there'll be a Moses raised up, I will not untie his tongue, but I will write in him my law by the finger of my hand, which are the records of ancient prophets of this place. This is one is where it's going to sound, this is probably referring more to Moses, to Mauricio now, but I'm not going to say I know that. And this line overseas, my people will live by the teachings of the middle book. Now there you've got the sealed plates. And this Moses that's going to be raised up again. This one now is, to me sounds like Mauricio. It doesn't say it's from the loins of Joseph. It's one of those two seers. This hasn't happened yet. I think the rod is even mentioned in that verse that I just quoted. He'll lead them like Moses. And what it says there is when Moses did it, is the angel went before him, but when this latter day Moses does it, I myself, the Lord, will be with them. So I'm just quoting things I see. I'm doing what Sydney did of showing you in regular scriptures that back this up. That's interesting. They will live by the teachings of the middle book. That is not just the Book of Mormon, which we've already talked about, bring forth the covenants. I believe that's talking about the sealed book. Now, let's unless there's other comments, let's go on. It's going to tell us more. My turn. I'll read 10 and maybe 11. Therefore, I will not make him powerful in words. Now, see, Mauricio. See, Mauricio needs a spokesman, especially for the big LDS church, to be converted. Mauricio doesn't speak English. And now for the new people, for Victoria and Trevor, look up Isaiah 28, verse 10. 29, verse 10 is the one Mormons always quote, that there'll be a sealed book and the man can't read the sealed book. But 28, I think it's 28 and 11. I was corrected before. But Isaiah 28, verse 11 talks about a seer who has a stuttering voice, stammering and can't speak. And this is Mauricio, who knows speaking English. So I will not make him powerful in words among those to whom he will carry this message, but I will write my laws in your heart by the finger of my own hand, and I will prepare him a spokesman, as Aaron shall be to Moses. That's the real Moses. But this one will come, but this one will come from thy loins, my servant Joseph. Okay, let's talk about, I'm going to comment on these first. And then we'll turn the whole thing more over to everybody to correct me if I'm wrong. This is what I can tell you, what Miro and I had explained this in some detail to Mauricio. And the explanation was that there was a man who was supposed to be the spokesman for Mauricio. See, this is Mauricio. This is not my speculation. I mean, this is talking about, well, anyway, I'll just tell you what Mauricio told him. And this is actually, I think, on my website. If you look on my website of secondinvitation.info, if you look on the history tab and origin, this hopefully is in there somewhere. But this is fairly public knowledge. Mauricio was told that this man who was supposed to be the spokesman was Joseph Frederick Smith, who is the great grandson of Joseph Smith, lives in Missouri. He's had all of his life desire to unite the branches in Missouri. And Mauricio was told that he just contacted him and told him to bring a friend, a second witness, and come to Brazil, that they could be witnesses of the plates. At first, it was just to tell them about the plates and to come and see them and find out their truth. They did that. They came down, which is an amazing thing, by the way. You get an email from a guy in Brazil with all the false emails that go around, you know, please send money, you know, we have gold plates. I mean, I think that's amazing. And Moroni promised him that he would come, and he did. Moroni promised Mauricio that Joseph Frederick Smith would come, and he did, with a guy named Bob Ward. They came and saw the plates. They learned that they were real. They were told to go back and get six other witnesses from Missouri. They did that. They came back. And in the presence of those eight witnesses and the three original witnesses, Mauricio unsealed the books, the sealed book. It had never been unsealed before then. Well, he didn't even have it before then, much. They all saw the unsealing together. They all have borne testimony of that. Then Mauricio translates it into both Portuguese and English. But it was known to the early members that this Joseph Frederick Smith was to be the spokesman from the loins of Joseph who had been prepared. Well, what has happened since? Oh, and there's more. And he was to be ordained to have, he has the right to the presidency of the church by being a descendant of Joseph Smith, if he's worthy. He was ordained to be a high priest, so now he's got the right and the calling and the priesthood. So he's all set up to not only be the spokesman, but to be the, in the, at least in the presidency of the church. They call him the president, but they always called it the president in Zion, which is Missouri. And it was really set up that he would be the first counselor in the church. And then Marisa would be, still would be the, well, I don't know exactly what was set up, but he was, that he was referred to as the president of the high priesthood. What has happened since is he has rejected Mauricio as a prophet, rejected his calling. He's actually started his own church with a different name. It was Mauricio, the Angel Moroni made a real important point that the church is the same one started by Joseph Smith, and it's supposed to be called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Joseph Frederick started a church called the Restructured Church of the Latter Days. And that was a no-no. In fact, it says in the book we're reading here, it says, woe be to the man who changes the name of the church after it had been revealed. And that's, I mean, whoa, that's serious. Anyway, at the last conference, it wasn't sure what was going to happen. And to Mauricio's surprise, and certainly to mine, I was called, the first presidency of the church was called. I was called to be the first counselor. And in the calling, I have this in my report. It's, I have it kind of hidden at the bottom of endnote 8 when on my article called the last conference of the church. But I was called to be the first counselor. And it specifically said I was being called to replace the man who had rejected the prophet of God. And that's very clearly, I mean, I don't see any question that's referring to Joseph Frederick Smith. So I am now in that place. And I can even tell you that Jeannie, I don't see Jeannie anymore. I think that's her. Anyway, it isn't where she was. But we were here in our own class back at the end of 3rd Nephi when we were doing this very class. And it became clear that I'm replacing Joseph Frederick Smith as the spokesman. I've written all these papers. I give these talks. I'm doing everything in the English. And my calling now in the first presidency is to try to convert the whole LDS church. And that has to be someone that speaks English. So that's all on verse, that's all on verse 10, I think.
I have a question.
Yes, and comments and questions.
Thy, what is thy referring to? Is that your or mine?
Thy, the thee, thou, and thy are all first person talking to one person. So I will prepare us for the spokesman. He's talking to Joseph, so it's yeah. Joseph's. This one will come from thy loins. That means Joseph's loins.
Not from
thy loins, my servant Joseph.
Yeah, and, but could it be, since it's the Lord speaking, could it be him?
No. Could it be what?
Could it be the Lord's loins? Meaning
no thy, the word my means
thy
means your singular. Let's do that really quick. You should know this to be able to read the Bible. Thee and thou, we have one word in English, you. It used to be four different words, and we've messed them all up. So the good thing about both Portuguese and the biblical English is thou is a single person. That's the thou shalt not kill. That means you singular. It's not talking to a group, it's you singular. Thee is the object. So I would give unto thee. That's one person. Thy is one person. It's like your for one person. And then ye is a group of people, active. Ye shall not kill. And I give unto you. So you really is a biblical word, but it means many people, or more, it's plural, and it's an object to you.
Okay.
So thy is referring to Joseph. No question what that means. It comes from thy glass. And in Portuguese, they still use this form. They do the these and thous a lot in some areas of Brazil. Okay, I did a long thing there. It was partly for the new people. Did I stop at 10? Did I read 11?
You stopped at 10. That's the way it did it. I can't remember. I think you stopped it.
I think I stopped at 10. Any other comments on that? I think we've got a few more verses. Let's start. Let's go again. Let's go back up to John, if you would read verse 11.
Behold, therefore, I, the Lord, will raise up a Moses for the preservation of the fruit of thy loins, and I will prepare for him a spokesman from thy loins. And behold, I, the Lord, will make this one, a Moses, write the account that was left by the fruit of thy loins to the sons of men, and also to the knowledge of the fruit of thy loins. And the spokesman of thy loins shall declare to his people in the last days.
Okay. Boy, that's just following up on, Lisa, why don't you go ahead to 12, and then we'll discuss it.
All right. Behold, therefore, the words that this a Moses shall write shall be the words which I, in my wisdom, deem fit to come unto the fruit of thy loins in the fullness of times. And it shall be as if the fruit of thy loins cried out to them from the dust, that these words may rise again in the latter days. For I know their faith, and all thy seed shall cry out from the dust. Yea, they will cry repentance unto their brethren that dwell upon the face of the earth, even after many generations have passed, with the opening of these words unto the children of men.
Okay, so I was waiting for I think in one of these it's going to say, to make it clear that we're talking about Mauricio, that it's going to talk about, you know, the seal, what says the metal book, but to differentiate this from Joseph Smith, it'll say the seal. Oh, it'll say that these words, it said this new Moses will bring forth the words that thou, Moses, is writing this, have written. In other words, he'll identify the new Moses as bringing forth this very record that we're reading. I think that's in here somewhere, and that will verify what my interpretation is of this part. But it's interesting that here it makes a point, it makes it, on the first two seers, it made a point that they were descendants of Joseph, but didn't say that his spokesman was. And in this one it says, doesn't say that the Moses is a descendant of Joseph, but that his spokesman will be. And see, that's a match for Mauricio and Joseph Frederick Smith. Let's see. So let's keep reading with, Jeannie doesn't have the book. Let's go to Laura again, then, if you would, on 13.
And because of their faith, behold, the words of this one Moses shall come forth out of my mouth unto their brethren, which are the fruit of thy loins, and of the weakness of his words, for behold, he shall not be able to speak, but I will strengthen him by his faith, so that the covenants which I have made with thy fathers can be remembered concerning the gifts of my spirit in the last days.
Okay, so I'll comment on that one before we go on. And Jared, you're reading next. So I've read the accounts of Joseph Smith speaking, and he was an amazing speaker with the power of a living prophet. Mauricio was that way when he's speaking Portuguese. He's a powerful and a good speaker. But this is describing someone, the one like unto Moses, is not going to be able to speak much. And I think that's to the fruit of the loins here. I think it's what we're talking about from the main LDS church, mostly English. And he will not be able to speak, but I will strengthen him in faith. Again, anyway, it just seems like it's talking about the one with the stammering lips. And that has been clearly identified somewhere in these last, in this new movement as being Mauricio. So I'm just saying, to me, that's referring to Mauricio, I guess, is what I'm saying. Let's go on and let's go to the end and then discuss it. Jared, would you read 14? And read both 14 and 15.
Okay. And because of this covenant, you are blessed. For thy seed shall not be destroyed, for they shall hearken unto the words of the book of the, that this, a Moses, shall deliver unto his spokesman, in whose cry of repentance to his brethren shall be heard by many, even according to the simplicity of his words, same after many generations. Until I, the Lord, raise up one thy brethren in the last days, yea, one mighty among them, who shall do much good, both in word and in deed, being an instrument in my hands, with exceeding faith, to work mighty wonders and to do that thing which is great in the sight of God, unto the bringing to pass much restoration unto the house of Israel and unto the seed of thy brethren.
Okay, I think I will jump in with these two with the interpretation and then leave this whole thing open to more discussion, because I make mistakes and we all learn, and if you feel to say something, go for it. But This is talking about how things are going to continue. First of all, my specific calling that I was given, not just in the order by Mauricio afterwards when I was ordained and set apart. My calling is basically to call the LDS church to repentance. This is talking about that Mauricio would deliver the book to the spokesman. He is to call people to repentance. Joseph Frederick Smith did that to some extent. He has ordained some apostles. He got things started, but then he broke off. And most of the people, a lot of the Temple Lot church joined with him. And when he did certain things and rejected everything and acted in certain ways, almost all of them as a group went back to the Temple Lot church. And so his church is very small now, but he did ordain some apostles when before the new, with the correct name of the church, etc. Anyway, so I don't know how much calling to repentance he has done, but I do know that my job is to call the LDS church somehow, and I've got instructions on how to do it. And this article on lineal succession is one of the tools in my hand. They totally ignored that, and it's been suppressed, and it's very important. And it's only a right of first rejection. In other words, if there's a descendant of Joseph Smith who is worthy to have the priesthood and to do this, then he should have the right to do it. And that's what the LDS church rejected. Joseph Smith III was there, is available, he had the right, he'd even been ordained, and Brigham Young rejected that. That's the problem. Now, in this day, we had a man like that, Joseph Frederick Smith. He was had the bloodline. He was worthy. He became a witness of the sealed portion. He went back and ordained to be brought up witnesses. And he was, what he's been given is the presence. He has the presence. I'll make the comment that the priesthood is separate from the church. Joseph Frederick Smith has been ordained president of the high priesthood, which is outside of any church. So he still has that. And Mauricio has said that that's a lifelong calling, and I understand it to be a lifelong calling, so he has that. The priesthood is what's needed to start a church, and he has started a church. But he's not in the church that the Lord is supporting, and he's been replaced in this church. So he's not in the presence of the priesthood of this church, but he still has that power. The reason for that is the ordinations, what this last verse has said is that there's somebody else coming in the future. And this is, you can read about this section 85, Doctrine and Covenants, verse 7. There is one coming who is mighty and strong, who will set the church in order. And mighty and strong is referred to in here a couple times. It's referred to in different places. Watch for those words. And it's referred to here. And Mauricio has taught, and it's in front of us here in the books, that this one mighty and strong will be a descendant of Joseph, at least of Joseph Smith Sr. And my understanding is it's of Joseph Smith Jr. also. And possibly even of Joseph Frederick Smith, but it's someone who's going to be able to receive the priesthood in the Missouri area. And it's this one mighty and strong who's going to build up the church, build up Zion, build up the city of Zion, the New Jerusalem. And he'll be in charge of building a temple there. And he's still coming. And my understanding is somehow he's, I think, going to get the priesthood handed down from this Joseph Frederick Smith, as opposed to having to go and get it again from Mauricio or that way. That's just my understanding. But those last verses that talk about one mighty and strong, that's coming in the future. Mauricio has said he will not be building a temple or starting things in Zion, but that's for a future generation, a couple of generations down. And whatever generation is, you know, it may only be 20 years each or whatever. So there you go with, and so he very well can be. Now we have almost too many, right? We're back to where it said in the first two seers, a spokesman, and a Moses. There's something, Mauricio is in there somewhere, and there may even be another. In other words, Mauricio says he is definitely not the one mighty and strong who's going to do all of this amazing stuff in that last verse. That will be a future descendant of Joseph Smith. And so whether, when it said two seers, a spokesman and a Moses, I think the first one that's the Moses is Mauricio. And it looks like I've replaced whoever Mauricio's spokesman is. I believe it looks like that mantle has fallen on me now. And the one in the future is called the one mighty and strong, usually. That's my understanding. I reserve the right to change all of this by next week. I'm open now. What time have we got? Is it time? Do we have some? Oh, it's 11:40. Any sort of quick comments? We're already 10 minutes over.
One thing I was, I'll only add one thing here for sake of time, but I was reading in DNC 85 as you were talking about that, John, and it said that that I find it interesting that it talks about holding the scepter of power in his hand. In verse 7, it talks about that one who's mighty and strong, and it refers to that person holding the scepter of power, which is interesting because in the sealed book, it talks about holding a rod. I'm not sure if those are the two in the same or if I'm even getting the right people put together there, but that's, I found that interesting.
Thank you. That sounds like a match to me. I don't know either, but that a scepter, the rod, they're both the symbols of the power.
Could a scepter be a sword?
No, a scepter is not a sword. A scepter is what a king holds.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If when Esther wanted to go to the king, if he did not reach out his scepter to her, gotcha, to accept her, she could be killed. It's what the king, a symbol of the king's power. Or the man in charge power. Okay, I think because of the time and because we're not overwhelmed with too much knowledge on this subject, we're gonna leave it here. We've discussed it, but just know that it's here and it's worth comparing now to go back to 2 Nephi 3 and read them and compare them, do what you want, but I'm gonna do that one more time. Oh, one more time, because if you get up to around verse 17 in 2 Nephi 3, it's going to talk about these same things. And I'm pretty sure in verse 17 it's talking about Mauricio. And that was the part when I said it at first, I'm not sure if we should discuss this or not, because I wasn't sure that's public knowledge. And now I think with this book, it is public knowledge. So we can compare them. In my article, I was just trying to show about Joseph Smith III, and I actually felt by the Spirit not to go beyond that. It was beyond the scope of the article. So I think if we compare the Book of Mormon to this now side by side, and we may want to discuss that a little bit next week, we might get more. But I think I'm going to turn off the. Let's stop the recording now, and we'll see you next week. And then we can still stay for a closing prayer and maybe a couple more comments. Do you want to hit the, I can't always see. Pause, stop recording. Now here it is.